Welcome to another In Wheel Time podcast, a 30-minute mini version of the In Wheel Time car show that airs live every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central. This is the In Wheel Time car talk show. Just ahead, you'll hear from car talk professionals. I wrote that.
What?
Oh, so we have somebody calling in?
The phone lines are open.
And,
right now.
And you know what? At least I got a laugh out of Mars because he said nothing in the last segment. are you participating this week, or are we going to send you out into the parking lot, Mr. Mars?
I'm evaluating my options at the moment.
Uh-oh.
We're also car talk professionals that lie and and we tell tales. That even their mothers wouldn't believe. Conrad will have This Week in Auto History. And we'll get you updated on the stories making car news this week. Howdy, along with Mike Out of This World Mars and King Conrad DeLong. Let's not forget, we need more Jeff Zekin.
Let's not always need more Jeff Zekin.
I'm Don Armstrong. So glad that you could join us today.
Jeff's got rhythm.
Yeah, I do.
There's a song in that. I've got rhythm.
No, you don't.
No, I don't. You're right. Yeah, shut up, Don. Don't sing.
What'd you do with all that money your parents gave you for singing lessons?
Apparently, it
went up in smoke. Oh.
I need to go take some headache medicine.
Put some salt on the rim.
Again.
One of those deals where you don't know if it's too much tequila or not enough tequila. Just one of those mornings.
Well, I think it's too much because it kind of carried over till the morning. So you need the hair of the dog that bit you.
I have it in the house, so I might have to step out and
take a few shots.
No, not a few shots. No, I'm not going to do that.
Several.
I'm several shots. I have some things that
fascinated.
I lined up. For the first year ever, Kia leads J.D. Power's annual vehicle dependability study with a score of 145 problems per 100 vehicles. Buick and Hyundai round out the top three. The highest premium brand on the list is Genesis with a score of 148. It's common for so-called mass market brands to lead this particular study, according to J.D. Power, as premium brands. Typically, they incorporate more technology in their vehicles, which increases the likelihood for problems to occur and aren't necessarily built to a higher standard than less expensive brands.
Just more things
to go wrong.
And it's interesting because now 145 is the best in the industry. There was a point in time where 103 was the best in the industry. It'd be fun to look at a chart how that best in the industry number has graphed over a period of time. Because to me, 145 back when I was working for GM, that was kind of a mediocre number. I mean, everybody was targeting for, you know, the 110s or below. You know, a couple of them were targeting under 100. I don't think anybody ever got there. But, yeah, so 145 may be the best in the industry, but it's interesting how high that number's gotten.
Does that show you the quality of the manufacturer?
And the expectation of the consumer, I think, drives that even more. As Don was saying, as the level of the car, the luxury brand car, there's more things that can go awry, yeah. So that level of expectation of the customer is more apt to point out things.
One of the sore spot is the infotainment system,
because back when I was talking about, wasn't a key factor in a car.
But yeah. Okay, so you've got an options. You've got a General Motors product, and they have 10 options on it, and then you got a Ford product. They have the same type of options on the Ford product, and of course it goes to Stellantis as well. So the expectations, like you said, of the consumer, well, yeah, I want to get that in any brand. All that stuff that you're telling me about, all those options, I'm going to get it over here in this brand too. So is that part of it as well?
But there's so many differences in, as Don said, the infotainment systems. You know, you have the ones with the scratch pad, you know, that Don really doesn't like, because you have to take your eye off of things to watch your scratch pad on the mouse.
Well, that's the dial, isn't it?
No.
This is actually a touchpad.
A mouse touchpad on your computer.
And then you have the ones with the rotary dial. And then you have ones that seem to be a little bit more intuitive. Stellantis one seems to be much more intuitive,
user friendly.
Up till this year, and I'm going to read a story a little bit later on about that. Stellantis has actually gone down with all of the problems that they're having with the upgraded Uconnect system.
Oh.
It's upgraded. Now, I did not have any problems when I drove the Ram truck that I could find. But remember, those are the same. It's the same system, if you will, that's also in the Dodge, the Hellcat, with all of the things that you, the parameters that you can change.
Performance pages.
Mm-hmm, that you can change in there. Clearly, the Ram truck that I drove didn't have that on it. It wasn't the TRX with the 707 horsepower. So it didn't have that. And so when they test these things, I think that they test the whole shebang. And it brings down their reliability factor, initial quality survey. Mm-hmm. And, you know, up until this year with the updated Uconnect system, it was really high up there and well thought of. But now with the revisions that they've made to the Uconnect system, it's brought them down. And it's like anything else. You know, you introduce changes to something, and there are always going to be issues. Now, here's something that really surprised me. Guess which is the highest on the list, the highest rated single nameplate as far as dependability is concerned?
Mercedes.
No.
Yours? Your thought?
I'll go Honda.
You?
I was going to go Hyundai.
Porsche.
Ah,
and
Porsche.
Specifically the Porsche 911.
Most people can't even say it.
Third time out of the past 4 years and the second year in a row that Porsche's quintessential sports car has taken top honors. Porsche as a brand sits in seventh place just behind Lexus and ahead of Dodge. Just ahead of Dodge at 166. Anyway, at the very bottom of the list. Your guesses?
You go.
Jaguar. Volvo.
You're close with the Jaguar.
Range Rover.
It is Land Rover.
Land Rover.
Mm-hmm. With a dismal score of 284.
Oh, my gosh. That's 284. Double.
Yeah.
Where is it made?
Great Britain.
I assume that it is.
I don't think they have U.S. production.
Well, because the, you know, that company that Tata Motors owns them,
right,
and Jaguar. Well, clearly, Tata is an Indian company.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But that's where their headquarters is. I think that the manufacturing really hasn't changed.
No, I think it's still Great Britain. Mm-hmm.
Well, they make tuk-tuk, too. The Tatas make tuk-tuk. The little three-wheeled.
I know exactly what a tuk-tuk is.
We did a review
is.
On it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well,
have you ever driven a tuk-tuk?
No, but I've driven...
Never mind.
Yeah.
Don't even go there.
Well, again, but this comes down to what you just mentioned, the level of technology that's in the car and the expectation of the customer. A customer that's paying $80,000 to $120,000 for a Land Rover has very high expectations of what the vehicle is going to do. I find it interesting that the 911 is the best car out there.
Well, as far as dependability, and has the fewest issues.
Right.
So,
but
I mean,
it also has the least amount of what I call goofy technology. You know, it doesn't have a whole lot of that user interface stuff. That is a sports car, simple and pure as a sports car. And it does all of that so well and has for generations. Those customers have high expectations of that being a sports car first and being a luxury car next, and I don't think they have great expectations of it being a luxury car.
You know, the last time I drove a Porsche was when the Cayenne came out. Was that, in 2000? Something like that.
Yeah, because that was out before I left GM.
They don't have much. The only ones I've ever driven were at one of the Auto Riders events. I've never driven one on the street, per se. But again, I think Conrad's right. You got different expectations. You know,
are you still a member of the Texas Auto Writers Association?
Yes, sir.
You sit on the board of directors?
No, sir. I'm finally out of that deal.
Are you glad?
Just a playing game and a member now.
Really? Paying your own way to all the events?
Just a commoner.
I'm a commoner now.
Okay. Well,
I'm telling you what.
But, you know, Cayenne is Porsche's number one selling vehicle. Porsche, the number one selling vehicle.
That's what I said. Most people can't even
say it. Sport utility.
And remember when they came out with the SUV and everybody
they got hammered.
Oh, everybody was up in arms. How could you do that? Mm-hmm. How could you possibly? And then they came out with the four-door sedan, beautiful car, and it just kills it. I mean, it is just spot
and
on.
Now they have the all-EV version of the four-door sedan.
I saw a Rolls-Royce SUV last week. It was awesome.
Cullinan.
Something like
Cullinan.
That.
Cullinan.
Yeah. Cullinan, yeah.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous.
And then Bentley with the Bentayga. Lamborghini has a SUV. I don't get me going on what the name of it is. So everybody recognizes that the SUV market has been good to Porsche. It's been good to all the other manufacturers to the point of many manufacturers have dropped their sedans completely. And I'm going to talk about Ford and GM to a large degree have dropped most of their sedans and are building a variety of SUVs.
Stellantis is the same way. I mean, you can look at it and say, yeah, they still got the Charger, but that's more of the performance oriented. That's the only thing that's keeping that alive.
Well, Charger, they still have Charger, Challenger.
Well, the Challenger is not a sedan, though.
But I think they still do the 300, don't they?
They do. But again, I think that falls under that SRT umbrella.
Well, and there's a new program, the Direct Connection.
Direct Connect.
That's also a new program for them as well.
That's their performance program.
But I think that's kind of what's keeping those vehicles alive. Otherwise.
All they had is Jeep.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Well, that's nothing, you know, Jeep is Jeep. That's great.
Well, you mentioned Dodge Challenger. Dodge Challenger is going to get a special edition that runs only on E85, which I think will be fun for the short run. Sources say it'll have more horsepower than the 840-horse Demon.
But it will swallow gas.
Oh, the Demon swallows gas by itself. Now at E85, where you got to put more fuel in to create the same amount of power, it's going to, I bet you that's going to be under 10 miles to a gallon.
Yeah, of E85.
But they're talking somewhere in the 840 to 860 horsepower range. And then Direct Connection is going to have an add-on to it that they're saying it'll be over 900 horsepower.
Put a blower on it.
And the reason for that is E85 is a higher octane than anything else because E100 is 113 octane fuel.
And then how much is that a gallon? $4.35 at the local place.
Yeah, it's generally about a quarter less than regular fuel is, but you don't want to run it in a vehicle that wasn't designed for it.
Mm-hmm. No, because it will chew up certain aspects of gaskets and rubber pieces,
for sure, but it just won't run right either because it's not tuned to put more fuel in it that's required when you run E85, because again the E85 has 72% of the BTUs, British thermal units, of E10. So gasoline has that much more energy in it than E85 does, and the car has to compensate for that. That's why you hear these guys, these tuners, talk about, oh, it's got an E85 tune in it. Well, that's great if you're running E85, but if you go to the gas pump and put, you know, 90 E10 in it, it's going to run extremely rich.
Hmm. Yeah, its brain doesn't understand that.
And in some instances, its brain can get reset. You know, GM went through a period of time with their, and they sold a ton of E85 vehicles where.
I remember that period.
There wasn't a, originally, the original.
Flex fuel.
The flex fuel.
That's
flex
what
fuel.
It is.
The original E85 vehicles from GM on like the S10 and the old Suburbans actually had a sensor on them that measured the alcohol content as the fuel flowed through it, and it could compensate for it. Well, in the third generation E85 vehicles, the flex fuel vehicles GM built, it would calculate it based on how much fuel you put in the tank, how empty the tank was, and what the oxygen sensor was saying. So it would sometimes get lost.
Great.
And you would the drivability would go to heck, and you would literally have to bring it into the dealership. The dealership would take a fuel sample, measure the alcohol content in the fuel, and then go in and reset your computer to the alcohol content that was in your tank at that moment.
I was going to say, because most people don't use the same gas station and the same fuel all the time.
Exactly. So a high probability that it would get lost again. Eventually,
what a nightmare.
Yeah, eventually GM came out with a program change that did a little, you know, substantially better job of managing the alcohol content. Because you got to remember, in a flex fuel vehicle, E85, it's capable of, but some people would run E10. And then that mixture of E85 and E10, and the car would show up with like E40 in the tank, and the vehicle's just lost. It doesn't know what to do to manage the air-fuel ratio for E40, and that's why they would have to reset it.
So you take something like an older vehicle, like my parents' 2002 Honda Odyssey that they're still driving because it's only got 85,000 miles on it. You go up to Oklahoma from here, in southeast Texas, where that's the only thing you can get is E85, and your gas mileage going up there may be 18, but coming back it's only like 14. Because
and you're coming downhill.
And I'm coming downhill
with the wind behind you.
Yeah, and because that computer is so old, it doesn't know how to compensate anything.
Right.
Well, I have to tell you that the Corvette did fine on its trip to Alabama.
Cool.
Oh, you took the Corvette to Alabama.
I took the Corvette to Alabama, and it got 26 miles per gallon. Now, granted, I didn't do the 60 miles an hour that I did on the Hot Rod Tour where I got 30 miles per gallon. And there's a huge difference between 60 miles an hour in the car and 75 or 80.
Do you use the cruise control?
All the time.
Yeah.
As often as I can.
And that truly is the best way to get the best fuel economy if you kind of plan on some of those rises and stuff. Well, yours being a manual didn't really matter. It just lugged through it. But on the automatics, you know, as you're going up some of the hills and stuff, if you kind of take it out of cruise control and foot feed it, it does a better job than the cruise control downshifting two or three gears on.
Oh my
so
gosh.
No range anxiety or anything?
No, no range anxiety. No.
That was a good trip for the Corvette.
It was. It's an 8-hour drive with a couple of stops on the way. And
that's not bad.
And what sent you to Alabama?
A little vacay, a little time
getaway.
Getaway. Mm-hmm. And so there's a place over there that I like to visit, and it's a resort community over in Mobile.
Wonderful.
Right on the Gulf of Mexico in Mobile Bay.
Cool.
And it's a beautiful place that was originally built in 1847. Of course, that building is long gone, but it's still the same property.
Did you stay there too?
I stayed there too, yeah.
Don't they have a casino rolling through there?
No, sir.
No, sir.
Maybe not that I'm aware of.
Maybe that's a little further in, because there is a casino once you get down on that beach road going through there.
Yeah, no. This is strictly it's a destination. You have to go there.
You have to be special. Specifically. Like Dom.
There's no special. Well, special needs, I think, is probably more along
1847.
Where it really comes through.
There you go.
I need to turn the page here to see where we are. You know, I think what we should do is, I don't want to do that just yet. There's a couple of other things I want to get to.
We got history and headlines.
I know that. And it's a little bit too early for all that, but we're going to get to that here in just a second. 7 steps to revive your car for driving season. Now, if you haven't done this already, you may be a little bit late. But, you know, people like to cram in vacations right before the summer's over with and the kids got to go back to school.
Mm-hmm.
Get in, around, and under your car. Most people just take it to the gas station, fill it up with gas, it's good to go. Probably not the best idea.
Well, you know, we're all of an age to remember the ding-ding when you ran over the hose, and the guy would come out, and he'd pop your hood and check your oil and check your belts. People don't
show
do that
you the
anymore.
Dipstick.
Yeah.
Well, that's done. But people don't do that anymore. You know, when was the last time you, as a driver of your vehicle, opened up the hood and checked the level of oil in your vehicle? Probably not. Last time the oil got checked was the last time you got it changed.
Yeah,
you know, you get the little the ratio on it. You know,
the little
so
light
percentage,
on it, that's right.
Percentage of what you
so
got left.
So you're exactly right. Do a little vehicle inspection every now and then. Helps.
Check your fluids. Get to cleaning. Mm-hmm. Clean it up. Get the vacuum cleaner out there. And the best way to get your car kind of smelling better, take out those nasty floor mats. So easy to do. Beat them up against the tree and knock all the dirt out of them and then put them on the driveway. For me, this is what I do.
Pressure wash them?
Nope. Well, I don't have to do that even. Just take you some laundry powder or soap, liquid soap, whatever you use for your clothes. Drizzle a little bit on there, wet it down, get the broom out, broom it out, and then take the water hose and rinse it out with it hanging on the fence or whatever it is that you want to do, and let it dry for 24, 48 hours.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you go to the handheld car wash that you do yourself. Mm-hmm. They have those little clips on the wall where you can hang your floor mats out and hit them with the pressure washer to blow the dirt out of them.
Yeah, and it truly makes a huge difference. I know that every once in a while I'll get a car that I can tell has been off-road and it's full of dirt, and you can smell the dirt inside the car in the carpet. It's where the odor comes from, and it really makes a huge difference to clean those things. You don't have to buy new ones, just clean them. Test your brakes. Because, you know, one of the things that I've learned a long time ago, doesn't make any difference whether you got 1,000 horsepower, 10,000 horsepower. You ain't going to go anywhere except into something if the brakes don't work. And you might want to get those looked at.
Probably the most important safety feature of your vehicle.
Yeah, and people forget them. Unless, what is that chirping sound that I hear? Oh, the brakes are gone?
Oh, no, I could wait.
I can wait. Don't wait.
Oh, that sounds it's gone now.
Yeah, yeah. It'll go away. Yeah. But listen, turn the radio up.
And, you know, plan for your trip. Make yourself a little note about the things that you need to get done to the car before you go.
Did you plan your trip to Alabama? Did you, I mean, I know you know the route, but did you look along the route ahead of time looking for construction sites and how to get around certain things and where you
Well, it came up
on
the phone when there was a great big backup. And it's so funny because you could tell that there had been an accident there probably within the hour, and all the traffic is still real slow and real heavy. And there were sections of I-10. I hate I-10. What a terrible freeway. Why doesn't somebody make that thing wider? You know, look at it here in Houston. It's
eight lanes each direction.
18,000 lanes until you get to downtown and it goes down to two.
Well,
two. Who dreamed that up?
Yeah, how long it took them to make it into eight lanes out here going towards Katy?
Well, they're
going
to change it all downtown, but it's going to take them 20 years to do
it.
Well,
it took them 20 years to do that over there.
I think they're selling it to another country. They're taking the road and moving it.
Well, you know, that's 288, you know. Yeah. That's owned by foreigners. And you're told.
The tollways.
The tollway, in the middle of that's owned by a foreign company.
Which is already paid off.
I understand on what do they call the when you're driving over the swamp, when you
bridge,
the
Shafalaya Bridge.
The Shafalaya Bridge. They now have cameras up there.
Yes.
That will time you from point to point and mail you a speeding ticket.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Did not know that.
Yeah.
Mm.
Lazy.
Yeah. And so
like
what happens when everybody's speeding?
It's called revenue generation.
Let me tell you something. Because everybody that I was in packs of cars, we're all going the same speed limit.
Oh, yeah.
Qualifying.
I will tell you what happens. Later on, you get stopped over there, and that officer walks up there and says, you've got a warrant out for a speeding ticket.
That you
give me your license or follow me. One of your, that's your two choices. Oh, you don't have any money? Give me your license.
Now, how would you know that, Mars?
His mom told him.
Rumors,
you're a liar.
His mom told him.
Okay, time now for this week in auto history.
Dun, dun, dun.
That would be your cue.
Yep. In 1894.
I remember it well.
In 1894, Elwood Haynes successfully tested a one-horsepower, one-cylinder vehicle, and he drove up to 7 miles an hour in Kokomo, Indiana. It was one of the very first automobiles built, and it is the oldest American-made automobile in existence, and it is currently on exhibition at the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C., at the Transportation Museum. In 1928, the Chrysler Corporation introduced what? 1928, Plymouth.
Very
Plymouth
cool.
was the newest car of the day in 1928.
I would have never guessed that.
And the Plymouth project has taken on... It had taken 3 years to complete as Chrysler engineers worked to build a reliable and affordable car to compete with the cheaper offerings of Ford and General Motors. Interesting thing is the original Plymouth logo was a
Mayflower.
Boat.
The Mayflower.
It was a sailboat, considering the Mayflower and the Plymouth Rock.
It's a boat crashing on the rocks.
And
well, at least it's not an arm sticking out there.
Well, and you remember John Hovis out at Hemi Hideout has one of these early Plymouth dealership signs. In 1957, Fiat launched the Nuova 500 Cinquecento in Turin, which was designed by Dante Gizek.
Ooh la la.
I usually do this to Jeff whenever Jeff gets this. I always give him all these weird names to pronounce.
Thank you, Conrad.
Well, I did it to myself. It was marketed as a cheap and practical town car, measuring only 9 feet long, powered by a 479cc two-cylinder air-cooled engine.
It's for a small town, right?
The 500 redefined the term city car, very popular. They sold a bazillion of them in Europe. I don't think it really ever sold very well here in the United States. In 1958, talking about cars that didn't sell in the United States, the final production line of the Trabant started in Saxony. It was considered to be the East German's answer to the Volkswagen. The engine for the Trabant was a small two-stroke, two-cylinder engine, giving the vehicle modest performance of 25 horsepower. I have a lawnmower with more horsepower than that, from a 600cc displacement. The car took 21 seconds to go from 0 to 60.
You know, that's because it...
And it smoked like a mosquito fogger. What, they were horrible little two-strokes.
What do I always say? Put an LS in it and tub it.
Put an LS in it and tub it. In 1962, the United States Patent Office issues the Swedish engineer Niels Bohlin a patent for his three-point safety belt system.
Niles.
For use in production vehicles. And, you know, you got to remember, patenting products is a way to generate personal income, because when you have a patent, people buy the license for the patent.
Right.
This man and the Saab Engineering was so open to the industry, he never held for licensing. He freely offered his patent to all vehicle manufacturers. In 2004, Suzuki Motor Company settled with Consumers Union on a lawsuit over the Suzuki Samurai being prone to rollover. If you remember the Samurai back in the day, they were prone. They were claimed to be prone to rollovers. And then in 2007, Fiat released the 500 Nuvo again.
Ugh.
It was launched exactly 50 years after the original Fiat 500. And I believe they still sell them to this day.
Well, they try to.
And this week, Ringo Starr
was
82 years old.
Yep.
Awesome.
That Happy
is
birthday.
This week in auto
well,
history.
Thanks for bringing that up. Remind me how old I am.
I didn't say a word.
I know you didn't have to.
Oh, y'all time for born the same time?
Okay, that's enough out of you.
Oh, you just got turned down. Uh-oh.
Time for a quick break, but we'll be right back. You're on the In Wheel Time Car Talk Show on iHeartRadio.
Get out the permanent marker and write on your wall calendar the next Tailpipes and Tacos Cruise-In, Saturday, September 17th, 2022. It's the fall edition of Tailpipes and Tacos at the Loopy Tortilla in Katy, 8 to 11 a.m. It's the only place cruisers compete for Loopy's Chili Pepper trophies and other prizes. There's no charge to enter your vehicle for best hot rod, best classic, or best modern classic. Tailpipes and Tacos is Houston's coolest and most unique cruise-in and is your opportunity to see the best hot rod, show cars, classics, and resto mods. And get Loopy Tortilla breakfast tacos with adult beverages. There's no entry fee, and cars will automatically compete for those much-sought-after custom Loopy trophies and other prizes. It happens at the Loopy Tortilla Tex-Mex in Katy on the Grand Parkway at Kingsland Boulevard, just south of I-10. It's Tailpipes and Tacos Fall Edition, Saturday, September 17th. The In Wheel Time Car Talk Show will be there, too. Celebrate the beginning of fall and the return of the Tailpipes and Tacos Cruise-In, Saturday morning, September 17th, 8 to 11 a.m. We'll see you then, weather permitting. Want to take a minute to tell you about Gulf Coast Auto Shield, a Houston detail company like no other. Gulf Coast Auto Shield offers paint correction services that'll give your car, truck, or SUV a like-new shine. Afterwards, you'll want to protect it with a professionally installed nano-ceramic coating or protection film. Worried about your very expensive windshield getting damaged, broken, or cracked? Let Gulf Coast Auto Shield install ExoShield, a windshield protection film. Give John Gray a call today or check out their website, gcautoshield.com. Hey, whether you own a new, ultra-expensive, exotic, or a five-year-old Suburban, Gulf Coast Auto Shield will help keep your investment looking like the day it rolled off the assembly line. Gulf Coast Auto Shield is conveniently located on the South Sam Houston Parkway, just south of I-69, the Southwest Freeway. Meet the staff and check out all of their services online right now at gcautoshield.com. That's it for this podcast episode of the In Wheel Time Car Show. I'm Don Armstrong, inviting you to join us for our live show every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and our InWheelTime.com website. Podcasts are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart Podcast, Podcast Addict, TuneIn, Pandora, and Amazon Music. Keep listening, and we'll see you soon.